Welcome back to Inside the Kingdom, your all-access pass into the colorful and creative world of comics. This week, we sit down with Harris Fishman, a.k.a. Beetle Moses, to talk about his strip, Beetle Moses, where it is, where it's been, its origins, and its future, along with some other little nuggets about Harris. So kick back and enjoy.
Hey guys, we are here at Comics Kingdom, King Feature Syndicate. I am joined by our newest addition, Harris Fishman, Beetle Moses. So you're out in Miami, you said, right now?
That's right, yeah. I'm out in Miami. I've been based out here for the last, 3 years now. I was telling you, for 4 or 5 years, I lived in New York before this, but I'm from Florida, so... Kind of got sick of the cold, kind of sick of the rat race out there. It's a great city. I do sometimes toy with the idea of going back, but I was over it at the time. So yeah. Now I'm back here. Yeah.
Do you ever just draw outside? Because it's just so nice. Like,
oh yeah. I mean, honestly, sometimes it's too hot. It's only gotten to a point where it's even appropriate to go outside and spend a lot of time out there recently. But I'm very lucky that the place that I live right now has a nice little patio and a backyard. So I'm out there drawing a good amount. Yeah.
Of that. Can you tell us a little bit about your background working in visual arts and how you started committing to making comics full time?
Sure. Yeah. So I don't have any formal art school training to speak of. The last art class that I had was in high school, but it was a good one. I had a great teacher, Miss Vice was her name, and she was I took an AP art class, and she was very intense, almost, I don't know if you've seen Whiplash, but it was a little bit like J.K. Simmons in that, not very unrelenting, in her criticism. She was kind, obviously we were high schoolers, so she couldn't be that brutal, but she was pretty hardcore. And so I think I actually, at the time felt a little frustrated or felt like it was really difficult to please her. And then now looking back, I realized that I still think about a lot of the things that she told me, and rules of thumb. And even when I'm looking sometimes at other people's art, I can be Miss Vice wouldn't have liked that very much, or you know what I mean? But other than that, I mean, I have been drawing my whole life. My dad is an artist in that he used to draw with me when I was young. I think he's a good cartoonist as well, actually. And he also instilled in me, he bought me a lot of the big three, honestly, were Garfield, Calvin and Hobbes, and Farside. Those were the three that my dad got me a lot of those collections. We had two or three of those Farside collections, I still have. Actually, I brought them with me from my parents' house. I have them here now at my place, which is really cool. And I was flipping back through them for the first time in a while and was just damn, these are just so good. Gary Larson is the GOAT. But anyway, to finish answering your question, I was working retail basically the last 10 years in New York, and then back in Miami. I had different retail jobs and stuff like that. Drawing or painting in my free time, and then left my job something a year and a half ago. I think it was actually might have been 2 years ago that I left that job, and then was studying for an IT examination. I wanted to get on some type of career path. I was tired of doing retail, and while I was studying for this IT examination, I started drawing comics and posting them to Twitter at the suggestion of a friend who's also a comic artist, my friend Zach. And I started getting a following on Twitter. And then a few months into that, I had to take a practice examination for my IT thing, and I flunked it. And I already had 40,000 followers on Twitter or something. And I was like, you know what? Let me just make a go at this. Let me try to turn this into an independent art career, and the rest is history. My parents were, honestly, I think I am lucky in that a lot of people's parents, if you told them that you were abandoning the IT thing and wanted to be a full-time artist, they would have been hell you are. But my parents were really, I think they knew, because I've always just loved doing art, and I think I've always just been a little too chicken to make a go of it. And I think they were actually relieved that I was like finally, you know, finding myself and doing my thing. So it's been charmed. It's been very good.
So you're known for your one-page webcomics. They're pretty hilarious. You reference a lot of pop culture like Dragon Ball Z. I saw one for like Kobe Bryant, anime. I guess, how do you kind of come up with like all these like fun, clever pop culture references?
I don't know. It's like the ideas kind of pop into my head from now and again. One of my sort of contemporaries, so to speak, House of Decline, who's just another comic artist, a web comic artist who I admire a lot. He phrased it one time when we were talking as a lightning bolt moment, where like, you're not really actively trying to come up with an idea, but you know, you're lying in bed, working out, taking a shower, whatever, and then all of a sudden like an idea pops into your head and you write it down. And a lot of those, you know, you can't force it, it just happens. But it's also, I think, like a muscle that you have to like work a little bit, because I teach sort of a little online art class, and for free, just like on my Twitch streams. And something that I try to instill in them is like, you're not going to know how to draw everything right away, but like, if I have an idea and I'm like, ooh, I don't know how to draw, like that Dragon Ball Z one, for example, like, I'm like, this is way outside of my comfort zone. I don't know how to draw these characters, you know, but like, at the beginning, there was a longer period of time where I would be like sitting on it, because I'm just like, I don't know if I can do that. And then finally, you're just like, screw it. You know, I'm just going to try it. And that's how it is with all art. But I think that muscle that you train makes that period of time shorter, where you have an idea and then you're just like, you know what, screw it. Let me just draw this. I know this is outside of my comfort zone, but if it's bad, it's bad, but I'm just going to do it. And yeah, that's kind of it.
And how do you think webcomics differ from like traditional printed comics, and what kind of medium do you like to use? Because I saw you also do paintings.
Yeah, I do paint. I wouldn't show it right now because it's not in a very pretty stage, but I am working on a painting right now. But it had been a while before that since I'd done anything. But I love drawing. I actually don't like drawing digital at all, really. I only do it for my Twitch streams because it's like most convenient to have like a drawing pad connected to my computer. But all my comics just are in this little black books that I draw and like this. So and then I basically scan them using my phone. I like up the contrast and then I color them on my iPad. But the drawing itself is all analog. And I think webcomics they do differ in some ways from comics, in a lot of ways, actually. And this is also kind of like a spiel that I've kind of been going on or talking about as well recently. But I think being a webcomic artist is interesting because among all fields, among all career paths, the path of the artist is probably the most disrespected. And then among artists, like among fine artists, I think comic artists are the most disrespected. And then among comic artists, I think web comic artists are disrespected among those guys, because even like only, I think a year or two ago, I think like something like the National Cartoonist Society, they like just opened their doors very hesitantly to like web comic artists to like be a part of it. Like you guys can come in here, which, I mean, you know, no disrespect to the NCS, that's fine, I understand, but it's just very new. And you know, that's not something that gets to me. That's kind of what I love about webcomics. And I think like there are other forms of art in different mediums that there are parallels you can draw, but it's kind of like the people's art, because it's very, the part of webcomics that differ from long form is like, you need to grab somebody's attention in 2 seconds, mm-hmm. not even like in a fraction of a second. And that in itself is, I think, like difficult. It's something that like, I mean, it's something that like brands, like big brands, pay like millions of dollars to marketing people to try and get going for them, to ask one person, or sometimes there's a team of people working on webcomics, like to ask somebody who's not like a marketing expert to create work that is immediately like going to catch somebody's eye or make them stick around to the last panel. That is a skill, which is like, I think it doesn't come naturally to everybody. I don't think it necessarily came naturally to me. And I think that's a frustrating aspect. And I think a lot of webcomic artists or artists who post their work online express frustration in not getting social media clicks. And that gets written off because people are like, oh, well, what does it matter? You know, you should make the art for yourself. And like, that's true. You should. But like, there's an element to it that like, that is part of the webcomic thing. You know, webcomics are the most shareable form of like, you know, of art, like in terms of social media. Somebody could be, I mean, I'm not like the most technically proficient artist. I'm not even like the billionth most technically proficient artist. I'm not the most technically proficient webcomic artist, but like fine art, you know, somebody might see a painting on their Instagram feed and be like, wow, that's incredible. But they're not likely to share it to their friends necessarily. It's not the same way that somebody would find like a comic that, you know, references like Kobe Bryant or Dragon Ball Z, and they might be like, oh my God, my friend is going to love this, or my grandpa is going to love this, or whoever is going to, you know, and then send it over to them. It's just part of like the pitfalls. And it's just like webcomics are interesting and they're new. So I think a lot of webcomic artists are still feeling out the ground floor. Like, where can this go? What can this really be? And it's an undervalued, I think it's a very undervalued like path for artists still, but that is going to change. I think we're going to see, especially in the next few years, more people are catching on. But I love them. I love comics. I'm finally reading like a lot of more like long comics because I want to work on some long pieces now, just to, you know, you get tired of doing a certain thing and then want to try something new. That's like normal, I think, with a lot of artists. And like, I'm reading Berserk. I don't know if you've read
Berserk. Oh, yeah, nice.
It's freaking amazing. I'd never read it before. And like, I started
never read it.
I haven't watched it. I don't know any spoilers. And I, you know, kind of got, it had been recommended to me by friends and people online. I just always hear people talking about it. And I was like, all right. I started reading some manga, like, last year. I started reading some Mob Psycho because I love the show so much. Mob Psycho 100, amazing anime show. And then wanted to read the manga because I heard that the artist who goes by One, who is the GOAT, he is so freaking awesome. I think he's anonymous, but what I love about that one, Mob Psycho, is that it's an amazing story, but the art is like crude. Like, it's not well drawn. It's very like, it translates, like you can understand what's going on, but he's not like a skilled artist. But I love that because it gives it so much character. And it also, me reading it, made me feel this thing like, oh well, like I could be doing this. I mean, I'm not as good of a storyteller as he is, I don't think, but like I think it definitely made me feel, there was a weight off my shoulders a little bit, like, oh, I don't have to be this like, you know, amazingly technically proficient, like really good at drawing anatomy. It's like, you could tell a really good story and kind of draw things like in a crude manner. So I loved reading that. And now the other end of the spectrum is I picked up Berserk finally. And this is like freaking masterpiece. Like, I mean, it's like unbelievable that one guy drew all this and wrote it. And like, that is also like kind of triggering a different part of my brain where I'm like, wow, I could be doing so much more. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not as good of an artist as this guy is, but like, this guy put his whole soul into this thing. And like, that makes me want to write something long too. So.
And you kind of have something you're working on, right? Like a mini comic long form or like a future project.
Yeah. So I have like, I just finished one comic that was a 50-page comic called Druzy, which is, I put it up like available on my web store. I wrote it as a means of like, actually what happened was there was an indie comic publisher that was running like a contest to, you know, they were taking open submissions basically, that like, if you have a comic that is within this, it had to be like within 25 to 50 pages or something like that, and it's all a self-contained story and no superheroes, it's all like your own idea, you know, we want to see it. And if we like it, we'll publish it for you. We'll print it for you. And I was like, oh, that'd be amazing. I had this idea that I was sitting on and I had drawn some character art for, and maybe the first few pages like in pencil. And then I was like, let me finish this. That was happening in August. So I really like decided like, okay, the web comics are going to take a backseat, and I'm going to, or the one page web comics are going to take a backseat, and I'm really going to finish this piece. And it was the longest by far that I've ever spent on a single piece. I mean, I've never spent anything like, it took me like probably, about 2 or 3 months to do the whole thing, pencil, ink, color, and then just organize the whole thing, like get it ready in like a PDF format. And which felt amazing. And I kind of, I submitted it to them. I submitted it to a couple other sort of like publisher. This was all before I was with King Features, and got rejected. It's okay though. I was like, I'm really happy that I have it under my belt. And above all else, like I can look at some parts of it that I'm like, I really like the way I did this, but I would do this differently next time. You know what I mean? And it was a really good learning experience. So now I have a new idea, which is, I think, going to be much longer. Also, Druzy, that piece is, there's no dialogue. It's all visual storytelling. This one is a lot longer. I actually don't know like where the full story is going to go, but I'm in the process of making preliminary art, and I've mapped out a good amount of the plot summary, and I've started writing it. So that's something that's probably coming down the pipeline, but that's going to be like a long piece, I think. Yeah.
And who would you say like your main audience is? Because some of your subject matter sometimes is like, ooh, it's a little.
Yeah, I think it's hard to say exactly. I'm sure. I think like I did look at my, this might have been like sometime a few months ago or even last year, that like I was looking at like my Instagram analytics, where it tells me like who's my target audience, and it was like, it was pretty evenly split, I think, among like guys and girls. And then there was, but the age range was primarily, I think it was like 18 to 35 or something like that, which sounds about right. I think, and this was especially something that I'm learning watching, no shade, but watching some other comic artists, like especially web comic artists and also content creators on the internet in general. I think it's a big mistake that's really hard to undo to try to cater to a certain audience. So when I'm drawing stuff, I'm not like, the 19 to 35 year olds are going to love this one. You know what I mean? But I'm just like, I'm going to make something that I think is funny, because that's what, me being my most authentic self, or as close to my most authentic self as possible. And then whoever that attracts, I don't really have to worry about them like causing problems for me, because they're just a reflection of who I, where I am as an artist. And I think there's been, well, it's really early on, but at the time of us recording this, which is in my first month of being with Comics Kingdom, I know that a lot of their readers on their website are in an older age demographic. They're not 18 to 35 primarily. So I wouldn't exactly say that I've been warmly welcomed by the Comics Kingdom reader base. I have been by Alex and CJ and Jen and everybody who I've spoken to at Comics Kingdom has been amazing, so cool and encouraging. But the audience there, I think, just, and this is not, no disrespect to them. I mean, they're good people, but people have different tastes. But I don't know if necessarily my stuff is like clicking with them, because it's just not, I don't think they necessarily understand the humor, which is fine. That's okay. You know what I mean? But like, I had this brief flickering moment where I was like, oh, does this mean that I have to like change my formula a little bit, because to try to like appease some of these people? But it's like, no, that's it's just what comes with the territory. It's okay. Like, I think that I'm gonna keep doing what I'm doing. I do like getting some feedback from like the audience, and it's, I think you can kind of like taper your work. There's a line, like you can taper it appropriately to, you could do some crowd pleasers, sneak them in there here and there. I can do fan service every once in a while if I'm like, I know my audience is going to like this one, but like, But generally speaking, I try to just like stay true to what I've been doing this whole time. And that has led me, I think I've gone through phases just in the last year and a half of Beatle Moses, really. I mean, just like, you know, I wouldn't even say necessarily I'm in a stage right now where I'm still doing a lot of like pop culture references, because I kind of was doing that for a little while and I started to feel like, hey, I don't really want to do this anymore. I have like other ideas that are a little bit more like, I don't know, abstract, absurd. You know, I still love drawing animals. That's, I think, something that's been throughout like the whole thing. But like now I'm also, because I'm backlogging some material with Comics Kingdom, a little behind the scenes, I'm posting through some of my classics, like older material that, you know, I'm just kind of reposting. And it's funny because some of that stuff that I was posting during that phase, or now I look at it and I'm like, I don't like the way I colored this. I don't think this punchline's that funny. You know what I mean? Or something. But I'm posting them again. And I have, and a lot of them people are like, dude, this is great. You're on fire right now. You know what I mean? So it's like some, I don't know, some things. My friend, my very close friend, who's kind of my consigliere a little bit, like when I like talk to him about Beatle Moses a bit, he was just saying like, he was like, there, you know, every Beatle Moses comic is at least one person's favorite comic. You know what I mean? So sometimes if I post something and I'm like, no one is going to think that this is funny, there's one person out there that's going to be like, dude, please, like, can you make this into a print? I will buy it all. You know what I mean? Something like that. So it's like, I don't shy away from ideas anymore. I try to just like, even if they're weird and I'm positive no one's going to think it's funny, I just like draw through it because somebody will think it's cool.
How did you actually come up with Beatle Moses?
Like the name?
Yeah.
It was so like, I don't have a great, there's not really like a great backstory, I guess. Like when I first started, so my friend Zach, who goes by Yola Swag Studios on Twitter, he's also a comic artist and he does these really absurd, like farce of like political cartoons. Everything's like labeled like crazy and nothing makes any sense, but he's really funny and he's been doing it for a long time. And when he kind of twisted my arm to start posting comics on Twitter. And at that time, my username and also on like Instagram, I had this really crappy username that had like a bunch of numbers and an underscore. It was like my name with numbers and like HARR11S underscore art. And like, and I like, cause I was like, I don't know. I can't think of anything. And then he was on a Twitter space. Like you could do like a, you know, like a little like live radio show on Twitter. And this was, you know, back in April of 2022. And he was on a Twitter space and he was talking to that other guy, House of Decline, who I mentioned previously. And I was in that, I was listening, I wasn't talking, but I was in there and I had posted my first couple comics. And Zach was like, you know, there's probably like 20 or 30 people listening. And he was like, yo, everybody, go follow my boy. He's next up. His comics are so funny. Go check him out. His username is HARR11S underscore. And I'm listening and I'm like, no one is clicking that. Like no one's
going to find it.
No one's looking that up. So I was like, I need to come up with something that is just like better than that. So I specifically, all I had in mind was that I really wanted something that sounded like a name, like you were referring to somebody, you know what I mean? Rather than writing like, I don't know, but like, I wanted something that sounded like a name so that, cause it's, I think, I don't know if there's anything to this, but maybe from a marketing standpoint, it's easier for people to talk about you when it sounds like a person, not like, oh, have you checked out so-and-so comics? Like, no, it's like, yo, do you know Beatle Moses? Like, I think it's just like, I don't know, it's maybe something there. And then I had a few names that I wrote down that I was like, whichever the first of these that don't have any numbers in them, I'm just going to go for it. You know what I mean? That wasn't taken on social media. And Beatle Moses happened to be the first one. And so I went with it. I think I can't even remember what some of the other ones were, but I had that immediate regret app. Because once you change stuff on social media, I'm pretty sure it like doesn't, some of them don't let you change it again or don't let you change it for like 30 days. And I was like, this is so stupid. Why did I come up with this name? This is so dumb. And then, but I'm like way past that now. Like I actually have come to just be like, you know, I think people have latched onto it for one reason or another. And I will shout out some of the inspiration that I got also is from artists that I know that are really cool that I follow that are really cool, like, they're not comic artists. I don't know what you would call it, really. Some of them do street art. Some of them just do this really, like, awesome type of just, like, pen work. Like, people that I really admired before I started Beetle Moses, and I still, I think, draw a lot of inspiration from them. So shout out to these people. They're one of my friends. This guy, Space Hose, was his name. Space, H-O-S-E. There's another guy, Gangbox. And then there's another guy, Fred Bread. And all I love mm-hmm. that just, like, I love those, like, bang, bang, like two words, you know what I mean? Like one, and they all sounded like names, you know what I mean? Like, just like, oh, bro, do you know Gangbox? Do you know Fred Bread? Do you know Space Hose? Like, oh yeah, that artist is awesome. So I kind of was trying to like emulate that, but all those guys are way cooler than me. So I also wanted something that was just a little bit like silly or tongue in cheek. And so that's where it came from. That's pretty much it.
And yeah. Is that Beetle in reference to the bug?
Yeah, in reference to the bug, I guess the only other thing that I kind of had in my head when I did it is I knew that, you know, the band, the Bee Gees, I think like some of the story about their name there, because the Bee Gees was actually there. It's the letters BG was for Barry Gibb, like, or the brothers Gibb, I think is what it, because it's three brothers. And their manager specifically said, when you spell it out, don't make it the letter BG, make it BEE, because on jukeboxes, when people are flipping through, you'll be right after the Beatles. People will be looking through the Beatles, and when they accidentally skip past, they'll see Bee Gees, and they'll be like, oh, who's that? So I kind of liked the like BEE thing, even though that has nothing to do with like the Beatles or jukeboxes or anything. So that's kind of also why Beetle Moses, why not go with that?
That's fun. It is very like catchy and memorable. Like once you hear it, you'll remember. And like every time you kind of see your art, you'll be like, oh, it's a Beetle guy.
Thanks. Yeah. I think it's funny. And I think the other thing that I didn't intend, but just is kind of funny, is that it's like, I think it's encouraged a lot of like nicknames, like people call, you know, Beat or Beetle, or they call me, it would be like, I'll get a lot of notifications. They're like, yo, Moses, or something like that. Like people will just be like, which is like fun. And I don't know if it would be that way if I had come up with a name that was, and this is something which is kind of, it was unusual. My first time talking to Alex, he was referring to Beetle Moses, the strip, not as Beetle Moses, the pen name, which is, you know, I've been calling myself Beetle Moses, and something that I kind of had to unpack or like think about in a different way, because it's the name of my comic strip. It's technically not my name, but I've settled somewhere where I think it's actually both, you know what I mean? It's like both my pen name and the name of the comic strip, which is a little unusual because it's not like, you know, Jim Davis didn't change his name to Garfield, but like that's kind of like where I'm at right now. And I don't know, we'll see. We'll see where it takes us.
We hope you're enjoying the vibrant stories and behind-the-scenes glimpses on Inside the Kingdom. We have a small favor to ask. Help keep the comic conversation going by subscribing to our podcast on your favorite platform. And if you have a moment, please leave us a rating or review wherever you're tuning in. Your feedback not only supports us, but also helps other comic enthusiasts find us. Every subscribe, rating, and review makes a huge difference, and we truly appreciate your support. Or consider visiting comicskingdom.com. And have a look at these comics yourself. Thank you. And let's get back to Inside the Kingdom.
So I guess in terms of like your references for, say, poses or backgrounds, do you kind of like, because you're also self-taught. So I guess do you kind of like, you know, just go outside and like really do like a lot of like life drawing?
I do. Yeah. I mean, Google Images is my friend a lot of the times. Like if I needed something, it's just true with this one comic that, well, I guess I shouldn't spoil it necessarily because it's going to go live on Comics Kingdom soon, but I drew a comic where there was a group of people beating up one guy in like the last panel. And it's so, you know what, actually, I'll say the reason I wasn't going to say it is because it's just too embarrassingly dumb to like say out loud. But basically it's literally a two panel. And the first panel, it's a group of people that are all hanging around with like little red solo cups. And there's a banner that says Air Fryer Society. And the one guy is just, he's talking, he's smiling, and he's saying to another guy, and he's like, yeah, and mine's also a crock pot. And then in the second panel, they're all kicking the shit. Sorry, I don't know how to say it. They're all kicking, you know, like beating him up. And which is really dumb, but I just was like, I got to put it to paper. I don't know. Maybe there's something here. And so I drew it, but that was challenging because there's a lot, it was a group of like eight people and one guy on the ground and all. And it's like, that's something that you need a reference for. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to just draw. Cause it's weird motions. Somebody kicking or punching or whatever. That's like not a normal motion. And I have found a lot as time has gone on that like, the punchline works a lot better, or something about the composition just works better when you are looking at a reference, because it just, the positions, the human body is so naturally funny that like, I don't know, sometimes there's just things that you don't think of that there, you know what I mean? You don't think of people like posed in a certain way. And so Google Images helped me there. But a lot of the times I do also have a ton of pictures on my phone, like on my selfie camera with the timer on, of me doing some weird, sometimes I can't find exactly what I need, you know, Google searching. So I have to do the pose myself. But I don't look at references usually for faces, because I find that faces are funnier when you're just imagining like it, you know what I mean? When I think it's funnier when it's just in your mind's eye, with some exceptions, but bodies I usually do use a reference for, because it's just I don't know, something about that is like silly to me. Yeah, it's challenging. Like sometimes if I come up, those are the, I know I mentioned earlier like the length of time where I'll come up with an idea and then I'm like, this is not going to be fun to draw, and but then I'll draw it anyway. Those, when I know that there's going to be a weird position to draw, are the ones that I'm usually like, I'll do that some other time. Yeah, I'll come back to it.
I was trying to find, I had a little, it's all the way on the other side of my desk. I have the little mannequin.
The posy doll. Yeah. those are great. I actually don't have one of those, but I definitely need one. Actually, even more helpful than that would be a hand. I've seen the ones that are the wooden, mm-hmm. like posable hands. Because that is challenging, like more than anything, hands holding objects, like a hand holding a cup or something like that, is like hard to fake, you know what I mean? And I never shy away from using a reference. I never trace anything, but like when I'm, I can't really because it's all in my book anyway, but like I never shy away from references, especially if it's important to like what's happening, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And sometimes part of the punchline is something looking very realistic, you know what I mean? Like sometimes the punchline is that the first panel looks very realistic, and then the final one is a reveal and things, and it's actually really like doughy or like crudely drawn, you know. There's very like popular Calvin and Hobbes series that he used to do, Bill Watterson would do, where it was like you wouldn't even know necessarily that it was Calvin and Hobbes if you didn't know any better, but it was like a real, because he's an incredible artist, and it was like amazingly rendered drawings of like, it would look like a telenovela of like a couple fighting, and it was really dramatic, and then the final panel it would be Calvin and Susie, you know what I mean, drawn in their normal styles, and you see that they were just like imagining, like playing mm-hmm. pretend basically, which is a great punchline. And then the opposite of that is one of the other mangas that I've been reading is Goodnight Poon Poon, which was at the recommendation of my friend Kevin, which is also incredible. And those drawings do the opposite, because the world is very realistic, but the main characters are these very crudely drawn, like bird looking creatures. They're supposed to be people, but the artist drew them as these like little like bird ghost looking things. But it'll show, like, there'll be a moment where, you know, one of the characters who's drawn like that, it'll be like a close-up image of them reacting to something, and they've been drawn, like, just, like, as they look, like, as, like, a bird, but just, like, the eyes are, like, really amazingly drawn and shaded, and it's, like, that in itself is a very, like, strong visual gag. So, like, that's a lot of the reason I use some of the references, is, like, because the... sometimes realism, especially in web comics or just in funny comics in general, is the punchline. Like mm-hmm. that's the visual gag. So especially with like poses and faces, that's when I would use it like a reference.
Yeah. And you have like a big cartel, I guess. How do you kind of go about choosing for products, mugs, prints, t-shirts, and stickers? which ones to use? Do you go by like what's really popular, what's doing well? Do you get like commissioned or?
Yeah, I sometimes it's like a lot of those, that's where the crowd pleaser stuff kind of comes in. You know, I less so these days, like I've been drawing a bit more stuff recently that's actually closer to the type of illustrations I was making pre-Beetle Moses, like before I was doing comics. And those I have been selling a lot better because they actually are like easier to recognize as an art piece, you know what I mean? Or it's maybe more popular for somebody to look at it and like be like, ooh, I really would like to hang that above my computer or at my job or, you know what I mean, or whatever, gift this to a friend. The comics themselves, sometimes, you know, just because something does really well on social media, it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's going to want to buy it as like merchandise, you know what I mean? Because it's like, this is also one of the pitfalls of webcomics is like sometimes they're not, they have a tendency to not be considered art, you know what I mean? They have a tendency to be thought of as memes, and like it doesn't happen so much anymore, but which they are, you know, I don't shy away from like the idea that webcomics are memes. I mean, that's what makes them so shareable. But I like used to get people who weren't familiar with me or whatever, I would call my Beetle Mode, my like Instagram or my Twitter page, a meme page, which I think in the beginning I used to be a little like miffed by because I was like, dude, you know, I'm drawing all of this stuff,
this
right? Like, I'm actually making this. But like, I think it's like, it's, well, I don't really have people say that so much anymore because also I try to, you know, and this is something that's a personal choice for a lot of artists. There's a lot of incredibly, you know, I mean, Bill Watterson, for example, and Gary Larson, two huge inspirations for me, are known, you know, recluses. They don't do interviews. They don't make many public appearances. I couldn't even tell you what Bill Watterson looks like, honestly. Like, I think like that's a choice. But in the modern age, I actually think there's a good way to kind of like jumpstart your fan base, you know, like not necessarily, it's not going to get you more reach, but it's going to make a lot of your audience stick around if you are engage a lot more and you show a lot more of yourself outside of the comics. So I think a lot of more people recognize me as like a guy now, you know what I mean, who runs like an art account or is a comic artist more so than when I started and I was just considered like a meme page. And you know, that's just been like an evolution over time. And maybe there will be a time again when people, where I, you know, don't want to be as public, you know what I mean? And that would just be another phase. But anyway, I know we were talking about merchandise and I kind of went on the tangent here, but like, I think that's something that I'm, and every artist, like, I think if an artist figures out exactly what is going to sell, if it was easy, there would be no broke artists, you know what I mean? Because there's always a market, you know what I mean? There's always like surprisingly for independent artists, if you find your audience beyond just people wanting to support you, because that's one part of it, but the other part of it is actually people just really appreciating your work for what it is. Like once you find that, there's money in it, you know what I mean? Like it's there. I think a lot, it's hard work. It's not necessarily easy, but so is anything. You know, it's hard to be a plumber. It's hard to be a teacher. It's hard to be a doctor. It's hard to be a whatever. You know what I mean? That like being an adult, making a living is difficult. So like I resent isn't the right word, but like I do have a little bit of like disdain for some of the adults. Luckily, this was never my parents, but there are other adults, auxiliary adults in my life, that if I brought up that I was an artist or interested in pursuing art, they're always going to hit you with the same line. It doesn't matter who you are, where you live, you're always going to be hit with, oh, you know, it's really hard to make a living as an artist, you know what I mean? Every artist, every young artist gets hit with that line, which is like, I mean, no duh, like it's hard to make a living. Look around you. It's hard to make a living doing anything, but it's like, if you love art, if you love to make it, it doesn't feel like work. It feels exciting. So like, I try not to get so caught up in like, ooh, this wasn't a really good month for me, you know, like merchandise wise. I try to just more be focused on like, how was my output this month? You know what I mean? Like I'll still have months where I'm maybe disappointed in myself because I'm like, you know what, you really could have drawn more, dude. Or like, you know what, you know, whatever, like it happens. You know what I mean? You spent too much time doing this when you could have spent time doing this. It's a business, you know what I mean? And I'm one guy, but I don't know, like someday maybe I'll know for sure what comics are going to sell really well. But it's like, look, it's like, this is my, I have my binder of prints that are the ones that I send out to people. You know what I mean? Some of them are new. Some of them are ones that I keep kind of just on like on lock. And some of them are just, I've had in there for like a year now because they'll never sell out. Like people are, you know, because people just don't want to buy it. You know what I mean? So like that happens too, but that's like just the name of the game. Like I try not to get discouraged. I just like, you know, I'm like, you know, this wasn't a great month for me merchandise wise, but like, hey, look, I got 2,000 new followers on Instagram. Like those are 2,000 new people that I wouldn't have met before. Alex, you know, from Comics Kingdom reached out to me through Instagram because he was following me on there. You know what I mean? Like, that's more what I'm focused on. It's just like really being engaging and putting out like a quality product. And then that's it. Just and working hard.
And you mentioned teaching. Can you tell us a little bit about that, like giving back and kind of how you even got into that?
Yeah. So like my dad is a teacher. And so for one thing, like, I think he, I don't know, I get, you know, it, maybe in ways it's hard for me still to properly verbalize. Like, I think he instilled in me a little bit of like desire to just kind of, I don't know. I love watching, I really enjoy watching artists that are just starting out, like of all ages, people who are older than me, people who are younger than me. Like, I like watching them grow as artists, like develop their style and work. And like, and I also get a lot of really, like, I've gotten a lot of really nice messages, some mail to my PO box and stuff, of people that just have expressed, like, you know, that they really appreciate, like, being taught in a really nonchalant, like, you know, I don't exactly have like a course, like I don't exactly have like course materials or like a syllabus to speak of, but like I think it's really important to just like talk about art, even the way you and I are like talking about it, just like discussing things. And sometimes it's also very therapeutic for me to talk through it. Like even right now, I think this is kind of like good for me on just like a selfish level to be able to talk through some of these ideas. And like, and I think other people get stuff out of it too. And when I started, truthfully, when I started doing streams on Twitch, it was because, and I still feel this way a bit, that the writing was on the wall with websites like Twitter and Instagram that like were just in a very late phase of their existence, and the vibe has gone sour on a lot of them. And out of some sort of cynicism that the websites would either shut down or boot me off, or, you know, I don't know, some, who knows what could happen, knock on wood, but those things could happen. Like, I just was like, I need to be not putting all my eggs in one basket. I don't want to just exist on Instagram and Twitter because they're businesses with their own problems, and I need to exist independent of that in some way, and still haven't exactly figured out how. But at the time I was like, let me start doing these Twitch streams. I think it would be a fun way to engage with my audience in the way that you and I had been talking about earlier just now, where like I can also show face and like talk more candidly about art and what I do and stuff like that. And so I that's sort of why I started it. And I just figured, like, you know, the thing that I'm going to do that's going to just be kind of like my MO, or what's going to set me apart, is I'm going to try to teach people how to draw cartoons, because I love cartooning. Anybody can cartoon. You know, I don't necessarily think everybody's going to make a career out of it, but everybody can and should draw, having a creative outlet. I think it's really important. And like, some people just get too busy, or they got their head in video games, and that's fine. Like, I, you know, I like video games now and again too, but it's like, you should have a creative outlet. It's really good for you. It's good for your brain. You should have some active recreation, not just passive recreation, scrolling through social media, stuff like that. These are ideas that are not new. I'm not coming up with any of this stuff, but I was like, I think it would be for the general good to try to instill some people with the drawing bug. And that's why I started. And like, it was now over time, I've only just started to really appreciate like, wow, this is actually like, it just feels good. It feels good to like have a little community kind of people that I are enjoying drawing along with me and like talking art. And a lot of them are new, you know, like newbies. And I've also played with the idea of maybe I actually was just told recently by my girlfriend. She actually mentioned to me that there's like in the area that I live, I think there's actually a program where you can teach like different types of art classes to some like kids in the area. And like, I think that'd be difficult. I know because my dad teaches like middle schoolers and I know how difficult that can be, but he's been doing it for like almost 30 years, if not that long. And like, I do think it would be kind of fun because, you know, I think of how my dad and some of, and my art teacher, like instilled, and some other art teachers too. I had like drama teachers and also like creative writing teachers that really instilled like ideas in me. Like I had this actually, rest in peace, God rest his soul. He just passed away. But this amazing creative writing teacher, Dr. Bassett, who was kind of one of the first teachers that I had that was an English teacher, but really leaned into like creative writing, you know, and like the philosophy of, and like just the human spirit and like, just like weird abstract ideas that as a high schooler, you're like, what the heck? Like what? You know, you don't think about this stuff. And then, and really encouraged me and us, everybody who in the creative writing course to just like really get like, you know, weird with it. And like a lot of that stuff is still in what I'm drawing now. I wouldn't have probably gotten to that point without encouragement from all those people, my dad and these teachers. And so like, I don't know if I could be that, I don't know if I have what these guys have, but like, I would love to be that person to also like, you know, starting artists, not necessarily young people, but sure, young people, but also people who are just like new to art in general. Like, you know, they got to get ideas or just like a way of thinking about art in a new way from somebody. And I like talking about it. Not everything I say is right, and not every other artist is going to agree with me. Some of my points might seem like mundane or redundant or whatever, but like, you know, if one person gets anything out of it, it's worthwhile.
Yeah, it's good sometimes to have someone that I guess is kind of relatable in the sense of like, I guess the format maybe that you want to get into and kind of yeah. Need that like positive voice.
For sure. Yeah. I think that's something that the part that I struggle most with, honestly, is the positivity because like, I mean, I'm always like, I always am nice and supportive of people who are in my class, but it's also like, I think the hardest part, the thing that I'm combating with my time on the internet is it's really easy to become just like hardened by just how, you know, by like the haters, like not like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, because I have a platform now and I forget sometimes, it's just like, it doesn't matter what I post. There's going to be a little, you know, wagon of people that roll in that want to say like rude things. And it's just, sometimes it just feels like it would be so sweet to just like dunk on these people, you know what I mean? Like make some public, like big joke about it. But like, I also am recognized now, like there is also some responsibility that comes with not just being a public persona and unfortunately a brand and up until my signing with King Features, a primarily independent brand, you know what I mean? I'm still going to do my thing, but like, you know, I especially because I'm trying to spread this message of positivity in the art community, I really do bite my tongue a lot on social media where I would say something negative or try to have like a, hey, let me just like one up this person. I'm like, you know what? That's not what I'm here for. That nobody wants to see this. Maybe some people do want to see it, but like, I don't like looking back at it when I'm scrolling back through my timeline and I said something negative or I was trying to, I'm just like, who the hell? If I saw this on my timeline, I would be like, who the hell is this guy? Like, I would not want to listen to that. So I try to just, I'm weeding that out, trying to be way more like, let me just be like, chill, easygoing about it.
And do you ever feel pressure to kind of keep up to date or reference something that's like trending?
Yes, I have felt that way in the past, but honestly, that like that nagging voice of Beetle Moses, like that era of it, is kind of gone. Part of it is because I look at some of my comics that I've made that were trying to hit on like a trend, you know what I mean? Like, oh, everybody's making this type of joke, you know what I mean? Let me jump on this bandwagon too. And a lot of those, like, you know, did numbers on social media, and I was like, oh, this is amazing. And now I look back on that and I'm just like, cringe, this is embarrassing. Like, why did I do this? Like, it's not funny anymore. It doesn't. And actually now my eyes are set. This sounds a little dramatic. I don't mean to sound dramatic. It's kind of just where my head is at, is like, I'm focusing a lot more on like legacy material. Like, I'm like, okay, which it took me this long to get here, but also to be fair and not to toot my own horn, I'm drawing like freaking maniac, like a man on fire. So like, I think I kind of almost fast tracked through a lot of like stage, like mental stages while I was like working through this stuff. And I'm still feeling out what Beetle Moses is, but like, now I'm at a point where I'm really like, okay, I have an audience. I have a gallery of material that if somebody stumbles upon my account, they can scroll through and they can immediately get a flavor for who I am and if they like my material or not. You know, I'm not actively pursuing new followers. You know, if they're going to come, they'll come. That's fine. But like, when I'm gone, like, what are people going to point to and be like, damn, this, you know what I mean? Like, or this was like something like I really want to, I'm gifted with the audience, but I also am just like blessed to be able to draw, like be able to like, you know, I have two hands and a brain that works. And like, you know, I like to draw, and like, not everybody has that combination of things. So like, I always am just feeling now like the Berserk thing I was talking to you about, like I could be doing more. I don't feel like I'm where I'm at yet, where like, you know, if I'm at the end of my career and all I had is what I have right now, it's like, it's not enough. Like, that's not where I want to be. So that's what I have my eyes set, especially in like 2024 and forward the future.
And do you ever have any moments of like writer's or artist block, like coming up with concepts, and like, do you have a favorite productivity hack?
Wait, tell me what was the first part of the question again?
Do you ever have like any moments of like writers or like artist block?
Oh, writer's block and productivity hacks. Okay. My productivity hack, and there's no one catch-all answer. My productivity hack and how I deal with writer's block is I just freaking muscle through that thing, baby. Like if I have writer's block and I'm like, none of these ideas are good and I don't feel like drawing today, I friggin' draw. I draw it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't. And like, I have plenty of phases like that. Luckily, I'm not in one right now, but I almost feel like I just got out of one where I was just like, I think it was post holiday, some seasonal depression there or something like that. But I was just like, none of these ideas are funny to me. I do not feel like getting back to work on this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I was just feeling like spent from the holiday season and not well rested. Didn't want to get back into it. But I did, you know what I mean? And I actually think that, like, I think there are a lot of artists who I respect, but they shoot themselves in the foot because they get to a phase of writer's block where they're just not feeling it. And they just are like, well, let me just stop. I think I'm a little bit of a psychopath for this, but my form of self-care is working, like just drawing more. Like if I'm not feeling good, it makes me feel better when I did something anyway. So I just do it. And now I kind of actually feel like I'm back in the groove of it. So I think that's not a catch-all answer. Every artist has like a different method, but I've found for myself that the more that I wallow in an artist block, the longer that it takes me to climb back out of it. So And I've said this to, I think, Alex before, I've mentioned this before, but my mentality that I also try to tell people who are in my art classes and want to be a webcomic artist or just an artist full time is like, what does a professional basketball player do on a day that they don't want to play basketball? They play basketball. You know what I mean? You don't have a choice. Like, you have to kind of like, this is a really dated term, so I'm really apologizing in advance for saying this, but I just can't think of it off the top of my head. But it's like, you have to man up sometimes. You have to just kind of do it. Like, you have to, like, you know, like I think that's also a problem with a lot of young artists, and they don't have this voice. And I was really lucky to have that art teacher who was very brutal early on that I was talking about, who kind of instilled this, is that, so, which is also why I say man up is not a great way to say it, because she was a woman and she was like, she totally kicked my freaking butt. You know what I mean? Like, and it got, and it actually, it totally whipped me into shape, because it's like, you got to do it. You know what I mean? If you don't do it, no one else will. No one's going to do it for you. And like, writer's block comes and goes, you know what I mean? But you, and some of the stuff that I drew through my writer's block periods where I was like, this is not funny. It's somebody's favorite Beetle Moses comic. You know what I mean? If I didn't make it, it wouldn't exist. So that's where I'm at.
No, I was going to say that's true though. Cause I remember in high school, my basketball coach, she was a female. Mm-hmm. She was the toughest person I ever met, but mm-hmm. it was always man up and keep your hand up. So yeah. You mess up, like, like yeah. You will keep your hand up.
Yeah, yeah. But that's,
it does
real.
Work though. It sticks with you.
It sticks with you. There's something there. Like, you have to, I think, like, there's a limit to, you know, there's a point where self-care and treat yourself yes. goes over the limit, and then you just become like, you just become like, you're wallowing in your own kind of just like nothing. And I feel way better. Like, if I'm on the weekend, I really do treat it like a 9-to-5. Like, on the weekends, honestly, I'm like, okay, I did a lot of work this week. Let me chill. I'm going to, you know, my brother's coming into town. Like, at the time of us recording this, my brother's going to be in town this weekend. And this weekend, I'm doing nothing. I'm going to go with him. I'm going to grab my girlfriend. We're going to go. There's a reptile expo that's happening near me, and we're going to that. I'm not drawing anything. You know what I mean? Like, I'm off the books, but like, once it's, you know, once it's Monday again, I'm punching in and I'm doing it. Even if I don't feel like it, you can expect some comics that are about the reptile convention. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, that's needed rest.
Yes, yeah.
So I just want to throw out a really quick question, some mm-hmm. fun questions before we wrap.
Okay, go ahead.
Do you have a favorite funny story that you like to tell people, and any moments from your life that you incorporated into your writing?
Wow. Let me think. Funny story for my life. Well, okay. I haven't incorporated it. This is just the first thing that pops into my head, but I haven't incorporated this yet, but I am sitting on like a little comic idea that's like a really short one-off, but longer than one page, that I kind of want to make about this like autobiographical bit that circles around my friend Kyle, who I mentioned earlier, my consigliere. He and I go way back. I mean, we've been friends since like the second grade. And his house, or his parents' house, I guess, he was in this neighborhood, and there was this one kid that, I don't know if he's still there, but he used to walk around the neighborhood. Like, when we were in like middle school or high school, there's this one kid that used to walk around the neighborhood who had this really long hair that would hide his face, and he would be carrying, not plugged into anything, he would just have his electric guitar. He had this like a flying V electric guitar, and he would just walk around the neighborhood and be playing it. And I remember, like, we would always see him, this guy is so strange, like, what is going on with this dude? And then like, you'd get glimpses of his face briefly, and he would just be making this like crazy, just like jamming out like that. And we would always just have like a laugh about it, because I would always just be like, this dude's crazy. This is wild. But like, now I look back on it and I'm like, that guy is winning. And what he's trying to do, because that is probably the most metal thing I can imagine. Like, you're just like walking around, scaring the neighborhood, jamming out, making music that's just like not plugged into anything, because it doesn't matter. And I just like, I don't know, I had this little like moment where I was like, damn, I hope that guy's doing well. It's like not like a story with a punchline or anything interesting, but there's something like autobiographical that I kind of feel like I need to document that in some way. So I don't know. That's the first thing that I thought when you brought it up, at least.
And then, if you could hang out with any cartoon character, who would you choose and why?
Ooh.
Any activity. It could be drawing. It could be drinking.
There is There's another comic artist, a web comic artist who I really like, named Keith Stack, and another guy who's kind of, in a way, I consider maybe like a contemporary, but he's like super talented and funny. And I think he has like industry jobs that are outside of the cartoons, but he posts these two characters, which are just like awesome. They're just like, they've become like beloved characters, this lesbian couple, Leslie and Brianne. And he posts comics about them, and they're just this like really funny. They're drawn in this like kind of Nicktoon style that's really cool, and they're awesome. They live in like this really dumpy apartment, and the comics are just super funny. And I would totally grab a beer with those two. They're really funny. So yeah.
And if you discovered a time machine and you could travel back anytime, what year would you choose and why?
Ooh, I would probably not go too much farther back than like the 90s. I do kind of feel like in general, the 90s is like, I was born in 94. So like, you know, I can't exactly claim being a 90s kid because I was like in kindergarten when the new millennium rolled around. But like, I would have liked to have been like a teenager or a 20-year-old in the 90s. I just feel like, I don't know what it was, something about the fashion, the music, the vibe, the movies, the art, like everything that was coming out around that time was just like, we were just really there. I don't know. There was something really special going on in that time. And I see a lot of like even trends in music and movies and fashion today that are like, people are really like trying to pick up where we left off almost there. So I'd probably go back there. That'd be dope.
I agree. That's my favorite time period. I miss it. I want to go back.
Yeah, 100%.
Everything was great.
It was so good. It just looks like it was so good. Yeah. I was not old enough to appreciate it, unfortunately. But I did have, when I was young, I had this Nickelodeon alarm clock that was all like purple, and it had these green like wiring, and it had this like orange splat on it. It was a radio thing. It was like super 90s looking. I'm sure my dad sold it. I don't know where the hell that thing is now, but super cool. If anybody listening had one of those as a kid, you know what I'm talking about. I think it's awesome.
And then you have a podcast, Cold Cuts Podcast, the webcomic YOLO Swag.
YOLO Swag Studios, yeah. Sure, yeah. So Cold Cuts is, we're sort of like a comedy duo. We do a podcast. We've done some animations. We are both comic artists. And and we record a podcast. Actually, I don't know if this is the right word, bi-weekly, twice a week. Not once every 2 weeks, twice a week. One that goes on YouTube, one that goes on Patreon, where we talk a lot about, it's especially internet culture stuff, but we do also talk about the creative process of being webcomic artists. We have had a lot of other creatives, not just webcomic artists, but big, like, you know, YouTubers and comedians and other just really cool people that we respect and love, animators, comic artists on there. And we love talking to them. And I think we talk very like brazenly, you know, about like art and the internet, and like, it's very off the cuff. So just like recording this now, I think it's a great like outlet for me to be able to kind of like air it out sometimes, you know, you get a lot of pent up aggression, I think, being on the internet, and it's not always great to post it, but it is good to sometimes talk with your friend about it. And Zach and I, YOLO Swag Studios, we go far back too. We met in college. So like, and a lot of our, like, you know, because we're both public, you know, comic artists, I think it's really easy to like talk to each other about just like, and joke about like things that go on online and in the scene, so to speak. So yeah, it's funny. We have like damn near 200 episodes or something. So like, if anybody listening wants to go check it out, or, you know, listen to that, they're all on YouTube. It's on youtube.com/coldcutspod. That's what it's called.
Nice. And anything else you'd like to share with us before we go?
No, this was really fun. You asked me really good questions. I know I kind of was rambling a bit, but this is great. This is really fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah. So everyone, make sure to check him out on Comics Kingdom, Beetle Moses, and check out his big cartel and his crazy Instagram.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Awesome. Thank you, Nadia.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on Inside the Kingdom. big thank you to Nadia Martinez and Beto Moses for their wonderful contributions to our show today. Remember to like, subscribe, review, and rate if you enjoyed this podcast, and visit us at comicskingdom.com to enjoy Beto Moses weekly. Tune in next time for more stories from the Kingdom.